Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to episode 180 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today we're talking about something that many of us have been doing more of recently, and that is taking part in online meetings. So I know that people here are listening from many countries in the world, and there are different rules in terms of the lockdowns and restrictions that have been going on. But certainly in the UK, we had a lockdown at the beginning of, well, in spring. And as a result of that, many people are still doing a lot of business online. They're working from home. There's much less business travel. For me, I always work online. So that isn't much of a difference for me because all of my meetings with customers are online, usually one-to-one meetings online. So that didn't change, but I did notice that I was taking part in more meetings online. Some of my social activities went online, and also I started attending some bigger meetings with other people, so they weren't my meetings. And that was a bit different for me because there were more people in those meetings. They weren't just the one-to-one meetings that I was more used to. But I know for other people it's been a really big change because they're used to a lot of face-to-face contact with customers or colleagues. And it was a real change for them working online more. And some people love it, some people don't. I'm not here to talk about whether it's a good thing or not. I actually really enjoy it because I save so much time not traveling around. But even I got to the point where I felt this is a bit much. I think mainly that was because I was doing too much, you know, whether it's online or offline meetings. If you put too much in your diary, you get to the point where you think, oh, not another meeting. But generally I do enjoy online meetings, but I've noticed some things that people are doing that are actually making their lives a bit harder. And I decided to talk about some of those tips. So there are lots of tips about online meetings on the internet. A lot of them are really practical things about how you present yourself, how you look, how you set up your background, you know, all that kind of stuff, which I'm not going to talk about here because this is a communication and language and communication podcast. So I want to focus on how we communicate with others in these tips. Or some of it is how we approach the meeting as well, because that affects how we communicate and the kind of vibes that we give off. So I have 8 tips here. I hope that some of them will be useful for you. Maybe not all of them. Maybe you don't do some of these things, but hopefully a couple of them will be something that will help you to make your online meetings a more meaningful experience or more effective or more enjoyable as well. Because, you know, if we're going to spend so much time in them, we may as well enjoy them. So the first tip, I know not everybody can do this, but for those of us who can, and particularly those of us who choose not to because we feel a bit anxious or nervous, is to not hide behind the chat, because sometimes it's really tempting to do that, especially in a bigger meeting. If you don't know everybody there, if you're new, or if there are more senior people there, sometimes that's what's wanted in the meeting. You know, like if I'm giving a presentation, I'll ask for questions to come in the chat, and that's fine. But if you are using the chat because you feel a bit nervous about speaking and using the chat is easier, then I would encourage you to try to speak if that's the kind of meeting that you're in where people are being encouraged to speak. And certainly try early on, because if you wait until right at the end of the meeting and then want to say something, it can be a lot harder because you haven't heard your voice in the meeting and you haven't heard it for the last hour or so. Sometimes I can't remember who did the research, but it was found that it is easier to do that if you've already said something at the beginning, even if it's something that's not that important as people are coming in, just chatting to people. If you stay silent for the whole meeting, it's a lot harder than to break that silence. But particularly as somebody who sometimes goes into meetings in languages that are not my first language, I am tempted to hide in the chat. And that's not always a good thing, because some meetings give equal importance to the chat and the spoken contributions to the meeting. And some meeting chairs are better at looking at the chat. But it's often the case that things can get lost or missed in the chat that wouldn't have been if they were said. with words in the meeting. So you can have a really good idea, a really good contribution, but it may get overlooked or ignored because there was lots going on in the chat at the time and it just wasn't seen. So in terms of being visible, in terms of like communicating your ideas or your opinions, sometimes the best way, if you can, is to speak them, even if you feel a bit nervous about doing that. Number two is new meetings feel different. And that's just the way it is. You know, everything that's new feels unfamiliar. You don't know how it works necessarily. You don't know the people. You don't know what kind of vibe there is in the meeting. I discovered this yesterday. I went to a meeting that I hadn't been to before. And I would say that I'm somebody who's really confident with online meetings, really comfortable taking part in them. And yet I did feel a bit more nervous because I was in a room with quite a few people, well, a virtual room. I didn't know any of them. I didn't exactly know how the meeting was going to run or what I was going to be asked to do. I felt a bit less confident than I do normally. And it was a good reminder for me, but that can often happen to us if we're meeting some new customers for the first time, or if we're doing something with a different team in an organization, or if there's a meeting that's bigger than the ones that we usually go to. And it's going to feel new the first time you do it. It's going to feel a bit strange, a bit unfamiliar. But the important thing there is to not let that stop you from contributing. Even if you have to work a bit harder, don't let that make you think, oh, I'll just watch. Because if you're watching, you're not participating. Sometimes it's good to watch. I think people are fascinating. I like to observe. That is part of my character. But if you stay watching, you're not participating. And that's a shame because you might have something really good to contribute, really good to say. And if you wait till afterwards, as I've done before, like put everything I was thinking in an email and send it to people, then you don't know if they're going to read it. It may be exactly the same information as you would have said in the meeting, but you know, you don't know if people will read the email. People get lots of emails. So the first time is often the hardest, but if you keep going, if you go back another time, that's not your first time anymore, is it? You've been there once, you know some of the people. So number three is about not being too affected by others. And that's really hard sometimes because you can understand about good online meeting etiquette. So not eating at your desk, especially with the phone going at the same time and something else happening, and you know, putting your microphone on silent when you're not speaking, muting yourself if something else is going on in the background, not looking like you're about to go to sleep, you know, looking engaged. All of these things, there's lots of tips about that. But the thing that I want to talk about is when other people aren't doing this, because you're not responsible for what they're doing. If you're leading the meeting, you can start muting people if they won't let anyone else speak, or, you know, you can kind of control the flow of the conversation a bit. But if you're a participant, you maybe don't have that power. But I think one of the things that I've seen is when some people are being more, discourteous in meetings, other people just think, can't be bothered with this. I know I do that as well. If people don't allow others to speak, if people keep interrupting, I will either make my point and make them back down and make sure that they listen, or I will just withdraw and not say anything and think, well, okay, you're not going to listen to me, so you don't get to find out what I was going to say. It's not always good to do that, because it means that those people who try to dominate meetings get even more power because other people back down. Obviously, it depends to some extent who they are in the whole hierarchy of the meeting, but I'm trying to learn not to do that if I still think that I have something to say, because I can be quite robust in discussions. I know other people maybe aren't so much, but those of us who can do have a responsibility to not let meetings get completely overtaken by somebody who wants to talk and not listen. So this is a long way of saying, even if things aren't going as you want them to, don't let that discourage you from taking part. Don't let that make you withdraw. Because you've still got things to contribute to the meeting, and maybe other people will follow your example as well if you continue to try to share them. Number four sounds a bit counterproductive, but it isn't. Virtual coffees. So I've been doing this a few times now with people that are in meetings, bigger meetings that I've been involved in. And I've suggested that we set up another meeting. So that's another meeting for your diary when you've already got lots of meetings, but set up something separate so that we can have a virtual coffee, so have a coffee together separately, but in the same online space, and have a chat about something, whether that's because I need some more information from them or want to discuss something with them. Maybe I want to make a new connection with them, but we don't have the same opportunities of having a quick chat to somebody before or after a meeting, or going for lunch with somebody, or getting a coffee with somebody before the meeting. All of that's gone, because all you have when you come into an online meeting is the meeting where everybody is, and you can join in a general conversation, but there isn't the same opportunities for one-to-one conversations. Okay, you can, in some meetings, you can have individual chats with just one person, but that's text chat, and that isn't really the same as having an actual chat with them. And so my way around this is to set up some additional meetings. And again, yeah, that does take more time, but it's often worth making the time and building relationships with people, because then, you know, you can have allies in the bigger meeting, or you can have a second opinion before you suggest something, or you can have a collaboration that you may not have had, that may not have been appropriate to talk about in the main meeting. So at first it does feel a bit, oh no, not more meetings on top of the meetings I already have, but it can really be worth investing time to do that, because it's a different dynamic in a one-to-one. If you're learning another language or using another language, it's sometimes nicer. I would much rather use my other languages talking to an individual than a big group. And I feel more relaxed about that. And I generally say more. So I know that that works for me. And so I try to make that happen a bit more, because I know that I would get the best results. But it could be to do with language. It could be just, you know, as an introvert, I feel that as well. I am much happier chatting one-to-one. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with setting up some additional meetings if you don't want a big meeting format for everything that you want to say. So know what works for you best in terms of your communication style. And if that is smaller meetings, then set some up. Number five, verbal communication just became more important. So in a face-to-face meeting, eye contact is more important. And some of the decisions about who's going to speak next are negotiated using eye contact, gestures. You don't have a lot of that in the face-to-face meetings. It's, you know, it's not possible to communicate as effectively in that way with the non-visual clues and the non-visual gestures. For me, as somebody with a vision impairment, I feel that we're all on a level playing field now, so I can't participate in this in face-to-face meetings, and it puts me at a disadvantage sometimes. So I'm not sorry to see it go, but I know that some people feel it's a lot harder if they are used to relying on that in face-to-face meetings. It can be more difficult in online ones where those things are taken away. So the thing there is to really focus on what you say. So, you know, have a look, see if you can hear that other people want to make a point, or negotiate with words, you know, ask people if there's something they want to say, or let people finish. If it's obvious that they haven't finished speaking, let them do that, because verbal communication is more important than ever now, because, you know, that's what we're relying on mainly in the online meetings. Number six, listen in order to understand and not just to reply. And I've seen a lot of people doing this. I don't think it's just about online meetings. I think a lot of people don't have the best listening skills anyway, but it particularly shows itself in the online meetings when people are so focused on what they want to say next that they'll often make all the right noises and say, yeah, yeah, of course, I agree, absolutely, you know, all these things. And sometimes I want to say something like, oh, it's just started snowing, or an elephant just walked past, just to see if they'll go, oh yeah, I agree, that's absolutely true, because it obviously isn't true, because it's not snowing in October and there are no elephants, but well, there are elephants, but not walking past the meeting room. So yeah, I sometimes want to say something outrageous just to see if people will keep agreeing, because I know for a fact that they're not listening to me. And I find that quite annoying. But in a meeting situation, it's not good because it communicates the message to the other person that you don't think what they're saying is worth listening to because you think what you're going to say is more important. And that's really bad, particularly if the person leading the meeting is doing that. But it's not good anyway. So if you're somebody that might be doing that, then think about that because it is conveying a message. Even if you think you're making all the right sounds, I agree. That's not the right sounds if the person who is speaking knows that you're not really listening. And I think for those of us that work in multiple languages as well, sometimes it's about not because you don't care about what the other person's saying, but because you're a bit stressed yourself thinking, oh, how do I get this complicated idea into the other language? And where does the verb go? And all these things, and you're trying to put together what you want to say. And so it's not really that you want to be disrespectful, but you're having your own problems trying to work out how to make the point eloquently in another language. And that's, you know, that is true. That's something that we have to think about, but not to the point where we don't listen to others. Because if you don't listen to others, you miss opportunities. You miss questions that you might be able to answer. You miss points that you might not have thought about. You miss ways to enter the conversation if you've got something valuable to share or knowledge that you have. And also you might miss something you're about to say yourself. So I've been in meetings where somebody has made a point that somebody else made about 10 minutes previously. And it was quite embarrassing for them because everybody just kind of looked at them and say, well, yeah, we know that, you know, somebody else has just suggested that. And it was a bit embarrassing, but that wouldn't have happened if this person had been listening. And that wasn't a language issue. They were clearly like looking at the phone and not really engaged in what was going on. So listening is as important as speaking. It's not just about getting your point across. It's about understanding where the other people in the meeting are coming from, understanding what they have to say, and then seeing how you can contribute to that, because it gives you more knowledge. If you just go in with your own agenda, the meeting may be going a completely different way to what you'd expected, and you won't know that if you're not listening, either because you're thinking about what you want to say or just because you're distracted. Number 7, can you separate work from fun? This isn't something that I do because I can't be bothered and it doesn't affect me that much, but I know some people, especially when more social things were happening online, they felt that it was just really long day because they were at their desk because they were working there, and then maybe something would happen in the evening that was social, but they were still coming back to their desk, and so it felt like they never left their desk. I do feel a bit like that sometimes, but it doesn't bother me as much because it would be just as much hassle to set up somewhere else. So I'm okay with that. But if it's getting to the point where you don't want to go to things just because you feel, oh, I'm still at my desk and I started here at 8 or 9 o'clock this morning, especially if it's just something where you're talking, you could move and sit somewhere else, like where you usually relax, or if you've got space to do that, just another room, another view, another like the sofa instead of a chair, just something to make it feel a bit different, because that already puts you in a different mindset for taking part in the activity, especially if it's something that's supposed to be fun. Because if you go feeling a bit negative, if you go into the meeting that way, you may communicate that. You may be less engaged. You may be less motivated, less positive. And that other people get this from you, but they don't necessarily know why. So if that's how you're feeling, if you just feel there's too many meetings in your working space, then try to change it up a bit. I'm not suggesting for important business meetings that you do that, but maybe if you're meeting up with some friends or if there's like a social gathering, because a lot in the UK, a lot of the social activities are still online, consider whether you want to do that from somewhere else. And number 8, really, it's not entirely about communication, but it's about how effective the meeting is for you, but you get back what you put in. So I have been guilty of clearing emails in meetings, not my meetings and not meetings with my customers, but when people have gone off track a bit talking about something that I really didn't care about, I've started clearing emails, and I'm quite good at paying attention to multiple things. And I can focus again when I need to. Some people are not so good at that. And it's very obvious that you're talking to them and you say their name three times and they're still looking at their phone. But, you know, I'm guilty of this too, because sometimes if I think that my time is being wasted in a conversation that has nothing to do with me and doesn't interest me, I will start checking emails. But if you keep doing things like that, or if you let yourself be distracted by the things around you, then it will become obvious, even if you're really good at hiding it. Like I might, you know, I turn my microphone off so people can't hear me typing. And I don't know, it is obvious when people aren't really there or aren't really paying attention. So if you do that, then you can't expect to have a really good experience or for it to be feel really productive for you, because you're not contributing either. You're not there. You're not present. So I know it's difficult. It's easier for me because I can choose what meetings I go to. So my problem isn't that I'm in pointless meetings. It's that some people in the meetings I'm in get sidetracked with discussions that I don't care about. But I know for some people, you have to be at meetings that you probably wouldn't choose to be in. And that can be frustrating, especially at the end of a long day. But just thinking about, you know, you do get back what you put in. So if you start thinking, oh, this is going to be boring, it probably will, because you've already written it off. Whereas if you think, right, I'm going to look for something that I can, you know, I can do, or I can change, or I'm going to try and, you know, make contact with a couple of new people, or I'm going to try and get agreement for this idea, or whatever your agenda is, that may change as the meeting develops. But if the only thing you think about is this is going to be really dull, then yeah, it may well be. Obviously, if that's just a presentation and then you're sitting there listening to it, you can't affect it that much. But I'm talking about the meeting, so you do have the chance to contribute and to shape the way things go in the meeting. So I know it's some people are happy about more online meetings than others. I can't change that. This is, you know, a global situation that we have. But if there are people who would like some help, particularly those who want to improve their English language skills, if one of the reasons you're not enjoying them as much is this is a different way of working and you find it more difficult, or you'd like some practice outside of your work situation, I do offer one-to-one tuition. So you can find out more about that on the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode180. Or you could email me podcast@englishwithkirsty.com and you can find out more information that way. If you think I could help you I can give tips, I can help you with your language skills, I can give you language practice talking to somebody that isn't directly involved in your company or your work, which means that you can relax a bit more. If that sounds good to you, then get in touch and I'll see how I can help. Otherwise, I hope all your online meetings are good ones. Have a good week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.